Will? All I know is it's all right. It's all right. Whatever we're going through, it's okay. The Lord has us in His hand. It's all right. I'm trying to do the best you can, living the life God's called you to live. And it's all right. It really is. I think we struggle too much as Christians. We make the struggle harder than what it should be. I think we make it way harder than it should be. I think that we struggle because we have sometimes a little bit of lack of our faith. Sometimes it's we're still living in the world. We haven't made that total transformation the way that we're supposed to. And those adjustments in our life, we're too busy looking at what's going on across the street instead of what's in our own front yard. But again, I would say that it's okay. It's okay if we know who our Father is. It's okay if we know who the Lord is. It's okay. And sometimes I think we struggle because we try to sit on the throne and not obey the one who really is supposed to be on the throne. And this is what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to look at what Paul has to say as an encouragement. So we're going to turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It begins it all with this awesome part about Jesus is coming back. Y'all know that Jesus is coming back like a thief in the night. You don't know. You know that He's coming. You need to be ready for that. But He gives us encouragement, this message to God's people on how to keep it together until that happens. And I think we struggle. We're struggling with some of these things. I can't go over all of these tonight, so I'm going to start in verse 14. But I just want to remind you that it's okay. It's okay. It's going to be okay. And if you let Jesus be Jesus in your life, not the one that a lot of people are making up today, there's a made-up Jesus that does not exist today. I don't know if you're here tonight, but I'm here tonight. There is a made-up Jesus that a lot of people are making up. And you know what? You know what He looks like? He looks like whatever we want Him to look like. It's a self-made. It's not the real Jesus. It's the Jesus that we want Him to be. And we want His stamp of approval on all of our stuff. And that's not the way that it works. There is one Jesus. There is the Holy Word. One Father, one Son, one Holy Spirit. And it is amazing to me that He gives us the privilege to be all part of that. But we're making life harder than it should be. But we're going to see what Paul has to say about some things because we all struggle in some areas. We struggle in some areas. We're going to tackle this thing a little bit. Because I know what? This is one thing I learned. This is one thing I know. I need to grow up in the Lord. Now, I don't know about you tonight, but I need to continue to grow up. There's a part of responsibility that I'm called to step up and be the Christian, godly man that God's called me to be. And I need to grow up some. I need to grow up in all the things that I carry and all the positions that I have. It's time for me to keep moving and keep growing up in the Lord. Now, I don't know about you tonight, but I'm going to look at these scriptures tonight and see, Lord, what is it that I am supposed to be doing with these scriptures? Because it's laid out to those people here in Thessalonians, but it's for me also, for me to learn how to grow up and stay strong, because I need to stay strong in my walk with the Lord. And I hope you feel the same. Because, you know, the thing is, God still uses, well, let's move on. Verse 14, because we're going to jump into that. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. We're going to wrap this up right here, just in this piece right here, is be patient with all. We have a problem sometimes in the church, and we I say the church tonight, and I'm going to just say brothers and sisters, not just New Life, but brothers and sisters, we have a problem with wanting to rule down hard. We judge. I'm going to stop here because I shared this morning in Columbia City. If you got something against one of your brothers and sisters, you need to grow up, because God, that is not biblical. That is the way the world is. Okay, we need to start being different than we were before. We need to be different. He says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly." We need to. There are unruly people in the church sometimes. There really is. But this is what most of us do. We just kind of fade over and act like it doesn't happen. We need to do that. We need to step up. There are times as a pastor, there's times in leadership, and there's times just being a brother in Christ that we've got to say something. We don't want to say it. We don't want to do it, but we need to. But we need to do it in the right way. We need to do it in the right way. And also we need to understand that we need to comfort those who are faint-hearted, those who get down, those who are struggling in their walk. We need to comfort those who are saddened, that are going through some things in life. We need to comfort them. But it also says uphold the weak. But he wraps it up and he says here, we need to be patient with everybody. What gets me is when we see people who've been walking with the Lord expect a new believer to get it right the next day. To get everything right the next day. It don't work that way. You've been doing something for 10 or 15 years, you've been living a lifestyle ungodly, you think that's going to change overnight? That doesn't change overnight. We in the church, we have a tendency to judge way out of our boundaries at times, way out of the area where we need to be. You know what we do? We do too much talking, not enough praying. We do too much talking, not enough encouraging, none of discipleship. But boy, we love to put our opinion in there, don't we? I'm just talking about the church. I'm not saying I'm talking about you. I'm talking about church. Okay? We struggle with that. We get envious. We get jealous when new people sometimes come into the church. You know, it's funny because I'm going to be honest with you. Campus pastoring, this campus stuff is pretty tough. But there are people, every time I go on each campus, there's always somebody that don't like somebody else in the church or want to move to another campus because they don't like somebody in this church or that church. What did I say just a couple minutes ago? We need to grow up. When you grow up, because we just need to grow up. But he says be patient with everyone. Be patient with everyone, because we know, isn't God patient with us? Okay, maybe he's not patient with, he's patient with me, I can tell you that, because I need that. I need that. Patient with all. But Paul begins to move on. He says in verse 15, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. What is that? I mean, we don't pay back. We don't do paybacks. We're done. That's the part of growing up in Christ. We don't, because you did this to me, I'm going to get you back. That's the way the world lives. We should be done with that. We don't counteract. We don't. Okay, you did this and I'm going to do that to you. But it happens. Believe me, it happens in the family of God. Do you think that's pleasing to God? But we do that, don't we? We have a tendency to do that. And he says, don't do that. Don't do those things. Don't do those things. But always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. I shouldn't be jealous about those who advance in certain areas. I should be excited. That's the whole thing about rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. We need to be about each other's business. Listen, I'm going to say it this way. We need to be about each other's business in the godly way. Not in the gossip, nosy stuff, but in the encouraging and lifting up of one another and praying for one another. If something good's going on to you, we should be excited. Not just good for me, but when something good happens for you. We need to really start looking at that. But he says this in verse 16. I love this. He says two words, rejoice always. Now, rejoice always. Do I have anything to rejoice about? I have a lot to rejoice about. I'm redeemed. Let's see. Let's go down the list. Well, I was lost and now I'm found. I was lost and now I'm saved. I've been redeemed, sanctified. All the beautiful things, all the big words. Been saved. Been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hell's not my home. Heaven is my home. I'm an alien here in this foreign country because this is not my home. Heaven is my home. I have a Lord and Savior. I have all those things that wrapped up in there. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. He's given you a spiritual gift to serve Him. All those things, He has a plan for you, and you have eternal life. You have all those things. And yet the Christian in America, you can't tell the difference between a lost person and a saved person so much. We shouldn't even have to say anything. We should just be walking around happy. We should be walking around rejoicing, being happy in who we are in the Lord. It's amazing because we are so discouraged, the American Christian is so discouraged because we got our eyes on the world instead of the Lord. We got to quit looking at what the world is doing. The world is doing what it does. But we have been bought And we have been purchased. And it is amazing what God has given to us. So we should be excited. We should rejoice in what God has given to us. I hope you didn't come here tonight because it's just your normal thing, which sometimes that's a good thing because it's part of your normal lifestyle and it's a part of your calendar. But I hope you come tonight. Hopefully you come and rejoice in hoping that you're going to know, you're going to learn and grow, come in the door one way, go out the door another in the positive way. I'm telling you, we serve the Lord. Sometimes I think the Lord just wants to say, man, if they could just get a little excited, if they could just understand really what they have. Let me tell you, Satan sees what you have, and his thing is this, don't get it. He does not want you to understand what you have, because when you understand what you have, you will walk around not being cocky with a bad attitude, but you will have your chin lifted up and you will begin to see the darkness of the world and you begin to pray for people that you've and you become an asset to the kingdom of God. You become a weapon. You become all those awesome things, and the dark side just wants you to keep you in the dark. But once you understand who Jesus is, you come into the church house, you get excited at times. And if not, there's a reason why. And then you bring it down to wherever you need to bring it down to. You're always in the motion. You're always moving. Here, we need to rejoice always. We need to be rejoiced. I got a lot to be thankful for, and I'm hoping you do too. But he didn't stop. Paul says, now listen, also, I want you to learn this. He says this, pray without ceasing. Now, this is the one I'd really like the most, because this is the one where I look at it and say, pray without ceasing. How does that work? Well, I know when I'm driving, I can pray. Sometimes I'm walking somewhere, I can pray. It doesn't have to be, I pray with my eyes open. It doesn't have to be long prayers. So, you know, it's like these little words that you're talking to with your spouse or your friend or your family. Hey, how's it going? Whatever it may be. When you're talking and you're praying without ceasing, I'm telling you, your conversation with the Lord acts like it just continues to keep on going. It is a privilege, guys. It is a privilege to pray. Let me back up. When you're praying, you're opening up a communication line to the Creator of all things. A holy God, the only holy God. Perfect. He knows everything about you. He understands you better than you understand yourself. He knows you better than you know yourself. As a matter of fact, he knows everything. He's created everything in the universe and all the planets, and you get to talk to him. And when you call, and you know what? The awesome part is, this is amazing. You don't have to go through anybody else. When you're a believer, you don't have to go through anybody else. You get to talk to him. And the awesome part is, he listens. He listens. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. Folks, I want to tell you, we do that more than what we realize. When we're in public and we're able to pray in public, I've been really hard on that one lately. When we get around people, then we can share the gospel. You know what it's like when you quench the Holy Spirit, when you know you're supposed to say something about Jesus and you pull back. We're quenching the Holy Spirit when we're supposed to step forward and do something, and we know it, and we step back. There's times when we do things and we're not supposed to do them, and we quench the Spirit. God is wanting to work in our lives more than we ever thought. You're not alive for your own self and your own purposes. Once you become a Christian, you realize that the purposes is not about yourself. It's about living for the Lord. It's about living for the Lord. You know, Adam and Eve had a problem. It was called sin. And what did they do? When they sinned, you know what they did? This is why we have a lot of people missing tonight. Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they did one thing. They hid. They hid. Tonight, there's a lot of people that are not living right for the Lord, and guess what they're doing? They're hiding. They're hiding. Does that have anything to do with the church? Of course it does. Folks, I've heard people say, I would never stop going to church. I would never stop. And you know what? Where they're at today? They've gotten so upset with the church, and actually not really church, just people. And what they're doing is they know in their heart, they know they want to blame someone, but what they do is they go out there and they live. You know what? They're hiding from the Lord, and I want to tell you this. The ones that I know are doing it, they're miserable. Most of them are miserable. Because when you become a Christian, you realize that it's not about you. It's not about doing it. It's about coming to your, giving your whole life to the Lord and living before Him. But we are not to quench the Spirit. We are not to quench the Spirit at all. It also goes with callings. God's called you to do something, you need to do it. If you're not, you're quenching the Spirit. Verse 21, he says this, do not, now I'm going to go to 22. Abstain from every form of evil. This is the big part about growing up. We need to abstain from evil. Those things that we used to do as a lost person, we don't need to be doing those anymore. We don't need to be doing those anymore. But we do struggle. We have temptations. Well, we're going to have struggles. We're going to have temptations. But that doesn't mean we have to fall into it. Doesn't mean we have to give into it. And when we don't give into it, we have a victory. But again, we don't see our victories because we're not looking at the things that we need to be looking at. But we're to abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is. We need to be ready because he is coming. We need, you know, the people, when Jesus came when he was a baby, he came in, Mary. They weren't ready, but it was the time. People, they didn't see it coming. Bible says that Jesus will come like a thief in the night. Won't see it coming. It's going to happen. Just like that. In the twinkling of an eye, it's going to happen. We should know. We can read the scriptures. We should know at least that he's coming. So we need to have our hearts and our lives prepared for that. We need to live as though Jesus is coming today. Our lives should be acceptable to him as we live it out each and every day. Our lives should be acceptable. Not trying to live in both the world in the way the Lord calls us to, and we struggle with that because when we can't do both, we can't live both ways. He says, I charge you by the Lord. Now this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. I would challenge you to read the whole thing here, but I want to tell you it's important enough that he says, I want everybody to read it. Everybody to understand it. That there's a difference between lost people and saved people. There's a difference between the man who's chosen God and the man who has chosen to deny God. There's a difference between the woman who says, I need a Savior, and the woman who says, I can do it on my own. And when we are on this side that says, you know what, I need the Lord, I have the Lord, I have Jesus, then we ought to live a different life than what we've been living. And when we get out there, we shouldn't just be talking about new life, we should be talking about Jesus. Amen? We should be talking about what he's done in your life, what he's done in my life. Testimony is powerful if it's a testimony about who the Lord is. Everybody wants to give testimony about their church. Everybody says wants to invite them to the church. But my thing is, why do you want to do that? It's a good thing. But I think Jesus needs to be higher than what when we talk about the church. Jesus needs to be higher than what we when we talk more about him than we do our ministries. We need to be talking about him. And we have a tendency sometimes as the church, the overall church, to forget him and get into everything else. Without him, it don't work. Without him, it don't work for me. This stuff don't work for me without him. My marriage don't work without him. Me being a father don't work without him. Me living my life in a peace that I have. No matter what happens, good days, bad days, I can still have a peace even when I'm sad. And then my peace is with him. It don't work without him. I don't know how anybody, if you're here today and you don't have him, I don't know how you're living. Because I need him every day. Every day of my life. Because I know that when you're not living with him, you're not living with him. And I need him everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. Every place I go. He also says in Galatians that we do not give up. We don't quit. We don't quit. We don't quit because the numbers go low. We don't quit because we got an obstacle in front of us. We don't quit because we have these things that could cause us to go off track. We don't quit. We don't quit because he don't quit. We don't quit. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 that we don't forsake the assembling of gathering together as some in the habit are doing. We're supposed to encourage it. We don't quit worshiping God. I need the Sunday morning services. I need the Sunday night services. And I need Wednesday night. I need it. And those days, those other days, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, you know what? I do my own. Because I need him that much. Because I do need him that much. Because back up in here it says test everything. How can I test things when I don't know who the Lord is? How can I test things when I don't know who the Holy Spirit is? We test too much with our minds. We test too much with emotions. We need to test by the Spirit and by the Word of God, not by the way that a lot of the churches are doing today. We need to be strong in who we are. Listen, you know what? I'll take it. It's hard, but you know what? You're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. That means you're standing and walking with his name in front of you, and you're to represent the Son of God wherever you go. You know what that also means? Your mouth. The words that you say, when you say them, you can't put them back in. You are an ambassador for Jesus Christ because you know what? You are a child of God. You're a child of God. And if you're a child of God tonight, you are also part of his family. And if you're part of his family and you're a child of God, we're called to love our brothers and sisters no matter who they are, what they do, what they act like. We're still called to love them. Or whatever color that they are. Let the Father do the discipline. The Father, he knows how to bring it down. We need to pray for one another. We need to walk with integrity. We need to walk with courage. We need to be strong in the name of the Lord of Jesus Christ. Not in the name of the church, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. I would ask you tonight, really, who is Jesus Christ to you? Is he a figure? Is he a figure? Is he you just see it when you see the cross? You know what people say about Jesus on the cross? I'm not trying to cut down Catholics, but I want to say when they see Jesus on the cross, you know what a lot of brothers and sisters say? I don't want to see something that was unfinished. That to me was unfinished. When he was on the cross, it wasn't finished yet. It wasn't finished until he rose from the grave. Hey? You get that? Because that would be us finished. No, we also buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. That's the promise that the hope that we have in the Lord. Listen, I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to that day. We look too much into the world, folks. We look too much into the world, and we need to be focusing on who Jesus is. I'm telling you, we got a lot to rejoice about. There's a lot of work to do. It's okay to get tired in the Lord. It's okay. But I want to tell you, it's all right. It's all right. If you got that relationship with Christ, no matter what, if you're leaning toward him, he knows what to do. He knows how to carry you. He knows how to work through the situation that you're in. A friend of mine told me, he said, my son was on the deathbed, and he said, this was my prayer to the Lord. He says, Lord, I will love you. When you heal my son, I will love you, and I will serve you. You grant my prayer. But you call my son home. I will still love you and serve you, but I will serve you and love you with a broken heart, but I will still do it. That's the way we are to be. There's no circumstantial love for us for the Lord. We should love him always. But I think we're struggling with that. I think we're struggling with our walk in the world. I think we're struggling. And even here at New Life, when I say New Life, I'm talking about both places. We're struggling because we still want to make that one Jesus who's not a Jesus at all. It's just a figure in our minds of what we want him to be. I had someone even tell me that today. Well, I think he's like this. Whoa, wait a minute. Your thinking is not matching with this word. Jesus didn't say that. Matter of fact, Jesus said the opposite of that. Folks, I want to challenge you that this gift that God's given to us is for us to draw to Him, to know Him, to get to understand Him in the ways at least that we can. This is for us. This wasn't for Him. He wrote it. It wasn't for Him. It was for us. It's the salvation. It tells us about salvation. It tells us about how we deal with sin. It tells us how to love our brothers, how to forgive our brothers and sisters, how to put things together, how to serve the Lord, how to work out things, how to hold this position, how to hold that position, what heaven is like, what hell is like, the balances that weighs in. It tells us about our enemy. It tells us about who the Father is and His love and unconditional love and the forgiveness that He has and how Jesus came and He died upon that cross for us and how He rose again and how heaven is there for us, eternal life. This is all for me. Amen. This is for you. I pray that the Bible that you have gets all beat up and pages are falling out and you go, guess what? It's time to get a new one. It's time to get a new one. Don't keep the same Bible forever and use it. I have a bunch of them, but they're so tattered, I got to leave them over there because I got to get a new one. And sometimes it's because the words are bigger, because my eyes are not working so great. But I want to tell you this. I think the Lord would tell you if what I'm preaching about tonight is you need to know Him better. And it isn't that He's pulling back. It might be just that you're pulling away. You are hindering the relationship. You're stopping the blessings from coming. You're the one that's stopping the answered prayer right now. He loves you. He's got you right here. Let Him be God. Let Him lead your life. Let Him control. Because we don't do very good with that. We don't do very good with that. So here's what I want to do. I want to take a moment just to think about where God has brought you from and where God has you now. And I want when we talk about it, I want to think about this one thing. Are you where you need to be? Not just what you're thinking, not what your emotions are telling you, but be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He will let you know where your relationship is with the Father. And if it's not where it needs to be, God is so awesome that He just says, draw to Me, and I'll draw nigh to you. Come all who are heavy laden, burdened, and Jesus says, I'll give you rest. Quit carrying what you don't need to be carrying. So let's go ahead and stand, and I'm going to pray over you, and then we're going to have a